using it to cover your face real quick. I don't like looking at it. Sorry. Yeah. I was like about to start and I just saw your face.
You're like, oh.
Then, okay. I'll bring you back in a second.
It looks like Jeff the Killer or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Starting. You're listening to Something Weird. I'm Brooke and this is Anna. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or even just a little bit weird. We're lifelong friends who've had an affinity for the strange since we first met, and now we're here to trek into the plains of strange with you. Each week, one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? And it's my turn this week. I'm doing something a little bit different, or at least not really on trend of what we have been doing, which is long, dark, depressing, a little convoluted, hard to follow, you know. So I'm going to mix it up. And for this one, I've got a history lesson for you.
Great.
Just because I'm, you know, preparing for the start of the school year.
Oof. I'm so glad school days are over.
At least you're getting paid.
Ish.
You can call it that.
Oops.
Great. Love my job. Okay. So anyway, this is a history lesson. It's short and sweet, but I'm going to be covering or focusing more on kind of a different type of phenomena than we have been. And I'm going to be telling you about mass hysteria.
Ooh.
I don't know. When I first came across this story, I was like, I felt like I understood what mass hysteria was. But then I kind of quickly realized that I didn't. So I went down a rabbit hole of really trying to understand what this is and how these strange phenomena happen. Before I tell you exactly what I'm going to be talking about this particular instance, let's just talk a little bit about mass hysteria. Well, I don't know. What are your, like, what do you?
I'm all for mass hysteria.
Okay.
I don't love it, but I know it's so fascinating to me. Two things come to mind. First one, there's an episode of House where they're on an airplane. One person thinks they're getting sick, and then everyone on the plane starts getting these symptoms, and it's like a rash shows up, they're vomiting, and then House being House realizes it's actually mass hysteria, and everyone is just taking on these symptoms, thinking they've willed themselves into getting a rash.
Yeah.
Two, The Toxic Lady.
I don't know The Toxic Lady.
It's another show.
Okay, we're going to come back to her. So I guess I always thought of mass hysteria just as like another way of talking about groupthink, you know, and like that sort of phenomenon in psychology of like when you get enough people thinking one thing, then like reality kind of comes from that, even though there is no sort of reality. I just didn't realize how intense and specific it can really be. So let me just throw out a couple definitions for you. So according to like sociology and psychology, those two working hand in hand, because it does have to do with the psyche, but also like the social element of it. Phenomenon that transmits collective illusions of threats, whether real or imaginary, through a population and society as the result specifically of rumors or fear, and fear typically being like the main kind of driving force of any mass hysteria. Like your example of House on the plane.
Yeah.
What's worse than getting super sick on a plane? And that's going to like fill you with that fear.
Dying in terms on a plane.
I already have enough anxiety when I get on a plane. We tend to believe things based off of fear. According to medicine, they would describe it as spontaneous manifestations, which are primarily due to production of chemicals in your body. So you're going to have similar hysterical physical symptoms by one person or group of people. If we look at this in a historical context, according to historian John Waller, oftentimes mass panics or mass hysteria and delusions tend to occur in, quote, people who are under extreme psychological distress and who believe in the possibility of spirit possession. And sometimes all of these conditions come together perfectly and create crazy sort of phenomena or events throughout human history. So I'm going to take you back to 1518.
Oh.
Yes. When the people of a small town in now France mysteriously danced themselves to death.
Just break dancing till their necks snap.
This could not stop the rhythm and drop dead. Literally dance themselves to death.
Oh my word.
In 1518, the town of Strasbourg, if I'm saying that correctly, was seized with the incurable urge to dance. And to this day, I just gotta dance.
I'm just imagining. I mean, like, I'm imagining their, like, paupers or something throwing down their milk buckets and
just busting them,
letting loose, like the beginning of,
what is that, like Face Off or whatever?
Face Off, yes.
Yeah, it was pretty much exactly like that.
So if you're listening and you haven't seen the beginning of Face Off, the intro credits, watch it. It's on YouTube. And that is what I'm picturing. Drop your milk bucket and just pull a Nick Cage and Face Off.
Okay. To this day, no one knows what caused all the townspeople to dance themselves to death, literally to death. But what we do know is that 400 people took to dancing for days, actually weeks, without rest. And over the period of a month, some of those affected by this incurable urge to dance collapsed or even died of heart attack, stroke, or exhaustion. Rough.
Yeah. I mean, I can see how that could happen pretty quickly, though.
Actually,
what? No, like, I'm not saying.
Yeah, that seems totally normal. I get it.
I'm saying I would die pretty quickly if I felt I had to dance for a long time.
Oh, I'm so out of shape. I would last like 20 minutes and then need to kneel and
also
take a breath.
If anyone's seen Midsommar.
No.
It's great. I highly recommend. But yeah, I mean, there's a scene where, well, I'll let you watch it, but
great.
Just dance your pants off. No one dies though from dancing.
What the hell happened here? Let me tell you. We're in July of 1518, so it's a nice hot summer. Again, Strasbourg is then part of the Holy Roman Empire, but like geographically, we're talking about modern day France. So it's the summertime, and all of a sudden, a woman stepped out into the street out of her house and began to silently twist, twirl, and shake. Other townspeople saw her and came out from their houses, and they just, obviously, what else are you going to do? You're going to watch. You're going to laugh. They even started, like, clapping for her and rooting her on because she just wouldn't stop.
They're like, this one's a banger. We get it.
Oh, man.
I just picture her. She's, like, popping and locking.
Actually, she might have been, which I'll get to towards the end, but she literally might have been popping and locking. So she's out in the street. She's giving the townspeople a show. They are loving it. They're eating it up. They're cheering her on. But then she doesn't stop. So it gets a little bit weird. You know,
can you imagine? Like, you go out and your neighbor's just like grooving. You're like, all right. You know, you do some claps and everyone's kind of trying to get on with their day. You know,
going to cars,
and it just keeps going.
It's like, Tom.
It's been
3 hours. What's the end game here? Okay, well, I gotta mow my lawn, so
Can you move?
So she doesn't stop, and it gets a little bit weird. According to some of the translated and other historical documents, it says she continued to dance without resting morning, afternoon, and night for 6 days.
Wait, isn't it like a known thing that you can't live longer than a certain amount of time without water?
Yeah, it's like 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, great point. Well, there's got to be some explanation for that, and I have to say there isn't a whole lot of information on this, but you'll see as this progresses. I mean, I said up front, this lasted for a month, and this was a large group of people. So there must have been sustenance, like at some point, you know?
The movement fueled them.
Like, they probably could have been thirsty, but still, like, kept grooving through it. 6 whole days, she's out there on her own, dancing in the street.
Oh, I remember the second part. Going to the bathroom.
To shit yourself.
Like those marathon runners.
Yeah. I mean, if you're at the point that you're dancing without reason in the street for 6 days, I feel like you're probably not going to be fazed if you have to poop your pants.
Just jive through it.
Jive through it. Drive through the water. Drive through the food. Jive through the shit. I don't know. When you're jiving, you can't just stop.
Are those the words you live by?
Yes. I have that tattooed.
You will.
I might. So she kept up her solo dance for nearly a week. And before long, some 3 dozen other townspeople had joined in.
What?
So, yeah, she's solo for about 6 days. And then slowly, people start joining in. By August, so about a month later, the dancing epidemic, or sorry, a couple weeks later, the dancing epidemic had claimed as many as 400 victims. So there were 400 people in this town that were dancing uncontrollably and without reason.
What? That's so many people.
I know.
I'm just imagining, like, you know, at first I was kind of thinking 13 going on 30, like Thriller, and everyone kind of starts going in and they're like, yeah, yeah, this is fun. But 400 people, that's like an entire
town, literally the town. I know, when I was first reading this, I immediately just imagined, like, you know, the Dance Yourself Clean by LCD Sound System?
Yeah.
When it like does the full breakdown at the end. I was just like, that's fucking awesome. Everybody's just like jamming out to that end of the song. That would be so cool.
Or just like Daft Punk aerodynamic, yes. Like super hard.
Yes.
Just a Justice concert.
We are your friends. Oh man. But then I kept reading and it didn't sound fun anymore. No one has any sort of explanation for what's happening to all of these people. So local physicians,
wisest.
I don't want to offend anyone. I don't know who I'm offending. But in case you're into that, they came up with the conclusion that it was simply hot blood. So these people just had a really bad fever that was completely messing them up. So their suggestion was to get the fever away, they just simply had to gyrate until it left their body.
Creeps. These pervs.
Right. So their medical opinion was to literally dance the fever out of them.
So, like, throw, I don't know, gas on the fire? Because that's basically what it sounds like. You're dancing too much, so to stop the dancing, you need to keep dancing.
Yes. That was their solution. And they took it pretty seriously. So the local authorities in the town didn't really know what to do or like how to support 400 people being told just keep dancing or let them keep dancing until their fever breaks.
Let them dance.
So they decided that they needed to actually build around this idea that they needed to dance. So they opened up 2 guild halls and a grain market. And they built a wooden stage for the dancing to occur on.
Oh, wow.
So built, like, dance halls for these people and just put them all in there.
And they can't even put a speed bump on our road for speedy drivers. And they can build a whole dance hall for 400 people. Oh, my gosh. And I'm wondering, too, was there music?
Well, let me tell you. They even went so far as to hire musicians to provide encouragement for them to keep moving. They wanted them to keep dancing because they really thought that if they danced out the fever, it would stop.
So there wasn't music before they hired musicians.
Nope. It was just dancing.
It was like a silent disco.
Yeah. Which are super fun. Have you ever done that?
No. I mean, every day when I'm like vacuuming and have my headphones in, but.
Fair. Someone did it. It was Zach's cousin's wedding. They had like a noise permit. So they gave everyone headphones and did a silent disco. It was awesome. It was so
I love that. We could definitely enjoy that.
Yeah, and it was great to just like take off your headphones and just look at people, and they looked out of their minds.
What would also be great is if you like gave everyone different tracks to listen to.
Oh yeah, there were different stations. When people like had turned to a different station, and it was just a shit show.
Oh my gosh. There's like Baby Got Back on one station and Dolly Parton on another. It's the mashup of the century. Okay, so they have musicians.
Yes, they've hired musicians. They're really encouraging people to move and keep dancing. The theory was that if the afflicted dance continuously day and night, they would eventually tire out and recover. Like, they're gonna have to be exhausted eventually, and then they'll pass out, they'll wake up, they'll be cured, everything will be good. They were actually just encouraging people to dance continuously, and it didn't help. As a matter of fact, it was a huge disaster. After building up their little dance halls and hiring musicians, the illness actually grew tremendously. Having the dancing performed in public facilitated the spread of the contagion or whatever it was that was causing these people to dance. So actually being able to like view them publicly just added more, like you said, fueled the fire.
Oh my word.
Yeah. So pretty much everyone in the town caught the fever and needed to dance.
And what about the people, like what about the musicians?
They're just playing music. They probably went in rotations.
Gosh, I mean, I'm just thinking how tired you would be.
Yeah, that would suck. It'd be terrible.
And has anyone died? Did I miss that? Has anyone died at this
point? No, not yet, but that's literally the next line. So many of the dancers started to collapse from sheer exhaustion, but we're still a couple weeks into this. And many even died from strokes and heart attacks simply from exerting themselves too much for too long.
Yeah, that's so long to not sleep or eat, even if you're eating and like, because I guess you can drink and dance and eat and dance, yeah. But sleep?
Well, yeah. Just that much constant movement. Going back to Waller, the historian that was talking about kind of how mass hysteria takes place, historically speaking, he said that, quote, a marathon runner could not have lasted the intense workout that these men and women did hundreds of years ago. These people are not athletes.
Not athletes. They do not have Powerade and gel packs.
No, I'm not like pumping hormones into their body. I don't know how so, this happened.
It is pretty wild though. You just wonder, you hear of instances where adrenaline kicks in for some people and they have superhuman strength, mm-hmm. and are able to get through, you know, these physical things that no one thought they'd be able to do before. It's almost as if adrenaline had to have been a part of that.
A part of it.
Mm-hmm. Because I cannot imagine doing anything I can't imagine dancing for an entire day, let alone a month.
A month. Neither can I. It doesn't make any sense.
I can't imagine doing anything for a month.
No. I'm going to need to sit on the couch and watch TV at some point. So it went until September. So it was well over a month. In September, the dancers, those that were left, that hadn't passed out, that hadn't died, that hadn't had a stroke, they were whisked away to a mountaintop shrine to pray for absolution. So the other townspeople and people from surrounding towns were obviously very concerned and pretty much just hoped that if they prayed hard enough, they would be absolved of whatever crazy curse they were under. And apparently it worked, because after they took them up to the mountaintop, the whole phenomena just started to die out and people stopped dancing. Many died, but others stopped.
That's wild. And you kind of wonder, was it something in the air and then they refreshed? But no, they probably just needed to get away from.
I mean, literally no one knows why this happened, which is a little disappointing. But there are theories as to what may have been going on. But first, I just want to note, this sounds absolutely bonkers. It just sounds like an urban legend or something that probably didn't happen. However, it is very well documented in the 16th century historical records. Many historical documents, some of which are physician notes, cathedral sermons, local and regional chronicles, and even notes issued by the city itself of Strasbourg. It's all documented in there that there were victims that were dancing. According to historical record, it is not made up.
And also, it's from a bunch of different sources.
Also important to note that this isn't the only incident of its kind. Similar manias took place in Switzerland, Germany, and Holland around the same time, throughout kind of that whole 16th century. However, the other occurrences weren't as large or as deadly as what happened in Strasbourg.
I wonder how they broke it up earlier. Like, why was that a thing that lasted so long in that scenario? They exacerbated it. That's also,
they made it so much worse.
Created a petri dish for it to go wild.
Yeah, they really did. So why did this happen? Like, that's the big question. There is no one answer, but there are some pretty good theories out there that you can, we'll see what you think. So going back to John Waller, our historian, he explains that in the time, 1518, given the location, we're talking about Holy Roman Empire, particularly along like the Rhine River in France, St. Vitus or Vitus, I don't know how to say that correctly, V-I-T-U-S, a saint. Mm-hmm. He was a Catholic saint who very pious 16th century Europeans believed that he had the power to curse people with the dancing plague. So they literally had a saint that they felt had the power to do exactly this. And when you combine this with the disease and the famine that was being experienced by this particular region and throughout much of Europe, that superstition may have triggered a stress-induced hysteria that took hold of much of the city. Hmm. And he suggests that what we see is this dancing mania came about through the meeting of two prior conditions. So you have the city of Strasbourg itself, which the poor in that city or town were suffering from severe famine and disease. And many people in the religion believed that they could obtain good health by dancing before the statue of St. Vitus or Vitus. And they also believed that, quote, St. Vitus had the power to take over their minds and inflict a terrible compulsive dance. Once these highly vulnerable people began to anticipate that St. Vitus cursed, they increased the likelihood that they'd enter into a trance state. So they just kind of opened themselves up for it.
Yeah.
Based off of their own superstition. Also, going back to that beginning quote where he was talking about when do we see mass hysteria happen, he said, it's likely to occur in people who are under extreme psychological distress and who believe in the possibility of spirit possession.
Yeah, that's okay. It's kind of like they want a reason almost. You're like subconsciously looking for a reason for all of this to make sense. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it does, your body's, everyone says mind over matter. You can will yourself into being well, whatever, you know, there's also science. But I do think the mind is so strong.
It's so powerful. Think of the first lady that went out into the streets and started dancing. She very well could have been experienced a psychotic break. We don't know
what's
going on with her. It could have just been her. But then you put these people together that are poor and struggling and hungry and desperate on top of their own superstition about this freaking saint who's going to curse them. But that's like a quick, to them, reasonable explanation for what's going on. And then all of a sudden, shit, I'm cursed too. I'm going to go dance for a month.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So, okay. So there were plagues and famines and like that. That's why they were struggling. Like it wasn't just their government wasn't watching out for them. Because they were still able to build them dance halls.
It's just,
they're just being
shitty
alive during that time.
16th century. Like your life's going to suck from time to time. Another theory, or actually multiple theories, kind of stem on a more kind of modern understanding or approach to what happened. It could have been that people in the town had accidentally ingested ergot, which is a toxic mold that grows on damp rye and produces spasms and hallucinations. So ergotamine is the main psychoactive drug in the ergot fungi, and structurally it's very, very similar to LSD.
Ooh.
So could have been these guys were all just tripping balls.
Okay. And they're like super hungry and just had to smash some quick bread, some quick rye to sustain themselves. And just it kept getting worse and worse.
Could have been. That's how it lasted so long.
Do you think people on, you know, like drug trips or binges for like days and days and days? And
your body does stuff that it shouldn't be able to do. Maybe. Also interesting about ergot and that particular fungus, it's also been implicated in other historical anomalies, including the Salem witch trials. So we've actually seen people's hysteria and like hallucinations, and some of the claims and like things that people said that they saw could have just been due to ingesting this poison.
Dang. Is ergot around now?
Probably.
In non-LSD form?
Well, yeah, it's just a fungus. That's We're crazy. Just fortunate enough to not be surviving off of rye in damp places.
So, listeners, if any of you bake bread or happen to be rye connoisseurs, put some in the back of your closet if you live...
No, Anna, no. Stop it. I'm not going to let you finish that.
For your science
sake. No. It kills people.
Gosh. They dance. And the dancing kills the people. And then if one day you just start doing just the shimmy and can't stop, let us know.
We'll take
you to a mountain.
Okay. Come on. Jesus. Okay. Back to my story. So it could have been this fungus or fungi, whatever was happening. But going back, we're relying a lot on this Waller historian. He doesn't believe this theory, or he's not really buying it, because he says, quote, "This theory doesn't seem possible since it's unlikely that those poisoned by ergot could have danced for days at a time, nor would so many people have reacted to its psychotropic chemicals in the same way. The ergotism theory also fails to explain why virtually every outbreak occurred somewhere along the Rhine River, areas linked by water but with quite different climates and crops." So he shit all over that idea, and I see why.
He just is really sold on mass hysteria.
He really is. So yeah, he's all about this idea that it was a stress-induced psychosis that these people were forced into on a mass level. Because again, since that region, those people, they were riddled with starvation, disease, and they were very superstitious, given their religion.
Okay.
Last theory, this is just real quick. We were talking about the popping and locking that our first lady might have been doing. The illness could have also created what's called a chorea, and it's Greek for a dance, which is a situation comprising random and intricate unintentional movements that kind of like force the body into fit of what kind of looks like popping and locking that moves throughout the body. So it goes from body part to body part to body part. So your body's kind of like doing these quick reactions all the way through, and it might look like dancing.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, the idea of epilepsy kind of comes to mind. What is that called?
Chorea.
Chorea.
But apparently this phenomena of chorea, there's been references to it throughout history as dancing mania that happened throughout Central Europe, particularly during the time of the plague. So it could be connected to the plague.
Oh, wow. So, and chorea is just kind of genetic.
It's categorized as a movement disorder. So all of the movements are involuntary. And these days it might be similar. You could think of it as like Huntington's disease.
Okay. So like that would be a potential, but then you think, okay, 400 people all with chorea.
But it could have just been her. It could have been the first lady.
I see. Okay. So that could have been what started it for her. But... Mm-hmm. Everyone else then went into a mass hysteria.
Right. Ultimately, there's no real answer. There's theories out there, obviously, but this did happen. And this whole concept of mass hysteria really isn't all that rare, kind of as we were talking about at the beginning. When you allow that groupthink mentality to really take hold, humans are capable of doing and believing some really crazy shit.
And not even believing something, but just mentally, but your entire body.
Mm-hmm. It really isn't that rare, though. Like, how many times people believe that they're pregnant and they get, what are those symptoms called?
Yeah.
you know, but you start like lactating. And
I know, I was going to say a ghost pregnancy, but that's, you know, not it. Phantom pregnancies or pseudocyesis.
I don't know, maybe it's just phantom.
Yeah, so a ghost pregnancy. Okay, I was not too far off.
A little ghost baby.
Oh, can you imagine having all of those awful symptoms of being pregnant and you're not even pregnant? Like that.
Yeah, that sucks.
It seems like a raw deal.
So again, this isn't the only time that something like this happened. It happens all the time. We're probably in the midst of one right now, given all of the insane news that's out there. But a couple notable ones. In 1962, a village in Tanzania suffered from the laughing epidemic, where a girl at a boarding school suddenly started laughing and was unable to stop. And among her schoolmates, this whole kind of epidemic occurred, which became of such magnitude that this entire school had to be shut down. So upon sending the girl home, the epidemic spread to the wider community and only began to fade after 2 years from the start of the outbreak. Everybody was just laughing uncontrollably.
Oh my gosh. For 2 years.
2 years. Then.
There's a then?
In Singapore in 1967, get this, hundreds of men became convinced that eating pork meat taken from a series of vaccinated pigs would lead to penis shrinkage or disappearance and potentially death. This was referred to as the penis panic. So this panic required a concerted effort from the country's government to educate the male population about their genital organs to convince them that their conviction was not and absolutely could not be true.
Were there any cases of anyone like physically experiencing being
altered?
This?
I don't know.
Not something I want to Google.
I don't really want to look more into it.
So the thing, I am curious, not curious enough to really look into it personally, but that would be a big one. If your penis disappeared just thinking that, like, because you ate meat, that is insane. That's an, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I don't know what to say. I do not know if it happened, and I don't want to find out.
If we have any listeners and you have heard of any family issues,
let us
know. We want to know. Don't need any images to back up your claims, though. So just tell us.
Okay, one other one that I'll tell you about. In the autumn of 2001, children in elementary and middle schools across the United States experienced a strange symptom. Their skin would break out into rashes, but only when they were in school. At home, their symptoms would promptly disappear. Autumn 2001, that's September 11th. So this phenomenon was linked to the impact of tragic events of September 11th, and the children's symptoms were taken as a mass psychosomatic reaction to the feelings associated with the trauma.
Wow. Wow. Which
makes sense, because most kids were at school when they saw that or kind of watched it transpire.
How old were the kids? I'm sure it ranged.
It was just elementary and middle school. So young enough to be traumatized, but not old enough to like process.
Yeah. Understanding that people were upset and something horrible was happening, but not understanding why. Right. And that's even scarier in a way is the unknown. Mm.
So all of that to say, it may never be known what caused this very, very strange outbreak of dance or any of these kind of bizarre outbreaks of mass hysteria, but they definitely remind us of the many things that the human psyche is capable of.
So what do you think? And I guess we don't know what happened here. Do you think?
I think it was I kind of agree with Waller in his like stress-induced psychotic break of these people, but I don't think that caused the first, or maybe like the first few. There was probably something larger going on, and it was probably a mental health issue that there was no way of them understanding. So you couple that with a town of people that are desperate and superstitious, I could see how it turned into what it did. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how their bodies were physically capable of doing that, but
it's an unknown. It's truly weird.
Yeah, it really is. What do you think?
I guess I would be on the same page. I don't think there was anything paranormal about this. It's just odd and, you know, like you said, sad. But it's so interesting that there are still things happening to this day. And you kind of wonder what will be deemed as mass hysteria.
From our time, like from what we're time. Living through. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which I think that there's probably plenty of stuff that could qualify given how we do things and the way information spreads. It's a little frightening.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what you think. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast to keep these adventures going for years and years and years. You can hop on board our Patreon, patreon.com/somethingweird, and join for behind the scenes, secret episodes, and a bunch of little treats.
And if you have any spooky or weird or just strange story of your own, we'd love to hear those too. So feel free to send us a message, any story at all. We'd love to hear it and maybe share it on here as well.
And if you enjoyed any bit of this podcast or episode, just let us know with a big 5-star review. We want the truth out there.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Stay weirdy.
Bye.